Howdy, y'all, and welcome to the Ears Podcast, produced by Terrier TV. I am Alligator Rob. That is Cindy Denson. That is Bill Curtis. You are you. We are we. How are you? I already lost Cindy. How are you doing, Mr. Curtis?
We are off to a great start.
I'm good. Yeah, this is gonna work out really well. I can tell.
Oh yeah, it'll be great. Cindy, I am super sorry that you missed out on Marissa Tellez being here last week, because that was a pretty epic discussion, and I feel like you guys are kind of each other's spirit animals. I think I told you this before, so I'm very sorry you missed that.
I'm so sad. When I heard she was talking about like microbiology, I was like, no, of all the things for me to miss.
We'll get her back. We'll have to get her back on.
Oh yeah,
because we didn't even like touch the surface of the stuff we wanted to talk about.
It, yeah, we did tell an interesting story about Frank being lost in Belize. You know,
that happened. Right after she told me, like, whatever you would do, you would never want to walk through this neighborhood at night. Like, okay, so let's walk through here at 2 a.m.
Marissa. And then she's like, well, you got to walk through this neighborhood now.
Yeah, that was after tweaking my back and limping through the whole place all night during curfew. That was good times.
There we go.
Yeah.
And then we were talking. That's right. You were there during the pandemic.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep. We were a bunch of Americans walking through the middle of Belize at night at 3 a.m. during a pandemic when everybody else is locked down. So it isn't like we stuck out like a sore thumb or anything.
No, not at all.
Be like, what are you doing out here right now?
Don't I remember you had to like deal with the authorities over that?
Oh yeah, it was fun. That's what Marissa was talking about. They drove up and we were all like, praise God. Oh, thank God they're here. We can finally get a ride back. And then they're like, yeah, you only got like another 15 minutes to go. Y'all have a nice night. Good luck. And we went, oh, my heart dropped. I went, oh. I was like, my back was killing me.
At least we're getting a ride.
Yeah, at least we're finally getting a ride somewhat back. Nope. But no, that wasn't going to hurt. That wasn't going to help at all. Yeah, it was after. It was a great story. Yeah, it was after my experience in Argentina, like a couple years before that I was talking about on the George Wendt podcast, where I traveled the entire country with a bullet in my pocket. There was one pair of pants I didn't wear the entire time I was in Argentina. And I put it on my backpack, traveled from Orlando to Dallas-Fort Worth, from Dallas-Fort Worth to Buenos Aires, from Buenos Aires to another little city in Buenos Aires to Santa Fe. And they didn't catch it until on the way back. And people in Argentina, they're not big people. They're very average-sized people. Except for the people in the military, which are flipping giants.
Uh-huh, okay.
I mean, they're daggum. They're like, you'd think they were on steroids or something. They're humongous.
So you're telling me that military officials in an airport took a very dim view of you carrying around a bullet.
Well, so I didn't ever take those pants out. Like I said, I didn't know. And I'm sitting there with all the other crocodile specialist group guys. I dare to say John and his wife were there when this all happened.
Okay.
And they're like, Frank Rob? And I went, can you come here, please? Like, uh-oh. Well, they're saying this kind of in broken English, you know. You come here? I'm like, okay. Like, what is this? I'm like, and they're showing me the x-ray on the screen. What is this? I said, my toothbrush, I don't know, toothpaste. I'm like, I'm not sure what that is in that picture. We're pretty sure it's a bullet. I'm like, no. I'm like, there's no way it's a bullet. Like, it's not possible. And they start tearing everything apart and separating. Like, all the CSG people are kind of going,
Hey,
you see what's Frank doing? Like, what's going on with Frank? And they're spreading stuff everywhere.
What kind
and
of contraband does Frank have?
Exactly. And what's funny, because that night I had went to the store, or that day, previous day, I'd went to the store and bought a gaucho knife, which is a Argentina cowboy knife. It's okay. It's our version of a Bowie. I mean, it's a big flipping knife. Thing was this big, and I kept saying, "Are you guys talking about the knife?" No, we don't care about the knife. I was like, what? Okay. Like, fair. If you don't care about a knife, it's okay. Like, that's cool. There's a giant knife that's like 20 inches long laying right there in front of you. You don't care. No, we don't care. Okay. All right. Okay. Fair enough. They keep taking things out, then re-x-ray it. That bag probably glows in the dark with no problem at all. They probably x-ray it like a dozen times. And they finally get down to this one pair of green, 411 tactical pants. And I'm going, I've had bullets in those pants before. I'm like, I remember bullets specifically being in those pants before. Huh. Like, when's the last time I wore those? Before I got on the plane to go to Argentina. Did I wash those pants? Yeah, I washed those pants. There's no way there's a bullet in them. There's, like, no possible way. But there might be. Huh. Okay, so they go through it, and I see him open up this little tactical pocket, and this guy reaches in, and I'm like, no, this is not good. And he pulls it out. He goes, what's this? Yep, that's a bullet. Is this yours? Yeah, that's mine.
Yeah, it's my bullet.
Yeah, it's mine. And then after they, like, I tell Mr. Curtis, they hand me this piece of paper, sign this. Like, I took a picture of it with my phone. Said, what's it say? Don't worry about that. Just sign it.
Like, okay. It's all in Spanish.
Like, yeah, it's all
so
in Spanish.
So he doesn't know.
Yeah,
you know,
so I'm like,
just sign it.
Okay, I sign it. And then the guy goes, do you want this back? And I said, no, man, I don't care.
He offered him the bullet back.
I was like, do you want this back? I said, I don't care who you give it to. I'm like, I don't want it back. Like, no, I don't know. I don't desire to have that back. I can't. I
you
know I got here with
stupid.
It. Yeah, but I said, you go ahead and hang on to it.
Because the thing is down the line, it's just going to cause you more trouble.
No, I'm imagining I'm going to end up in an Argentinian prison, and I don't think that's good.
No, probably not.
I don't think it's good.
I haven't really researched world prisons and everything, but I'm thinking that
it's probably not top of the food chain.
No,
yeah, I'm
no,
guessing
not
it's
up there.
Probably somewhere mid-level. Which prison in general sounds bad, so even mid-level sounds real bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, anyhow. So tell us, I went off on a tangent. I went off on an Argentinian tangent. How do we even get there? How did I even get there? I don't know how I got there.
I forget. We were talking, don't know.
I don't know.
We were talking about microbiology somehow.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, no, you said something about
Belize
yes,
and
Belize,
the police
yes.
and the authorities.
Okay. Which, that was my idea, that whole thing in Belize. I told Marissa, like, we're locked in here. Call the cops. They'll get us out. And she said, you don't want to call the cops. I said, no, Marissa, let's. They're law enforcement. They'll help us. And she said, you don't want to call the cops, Frank. And I finally convinced her, and it was the worst convincing job I'd ever done. I mean, apparently I convinced her very well, but it was the worst idea I've had in a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it didn't pan
out. It did
out
not
for
help.
You.
It did not did help
not
at all.
Pan
no.
Out. No.
Did, they never even showed up. So, yeah. So, Cindy, you just got back on vacation.
I did.
Tell us all about it. Tell us all the things.
It was amazing.
And where were you at?
I was in southern Utah, in the Greater Zion area.
Greater Zion. Ooh,
ooh yeah.
We did do some hiking fancy. In Zion, but we try to do a lot of stuff outside because the whole area is just unbelievable. I can't even describe how beautiful it is.
Mm-hmm.
But Zion gets all the attention.
Right.
Thanks to, Instagram influencers. And so that's where all the crowds are. And I want the opposite of crowd. I want no people.
Uh-huh. Did you go up to Bryce?
No, we didn't. I've still never made my way up there yet. It's on my list of places I want to go one day.
Is that your first time in Utah?
No. It was my second time.
Wow.
I'll tell you my experience in Zion Canyon. Because, anytime you go in the Southwest and you go to canyons, you're on the rim and you're looking down into the canyon. Well, we came into Zion at night. I'd taken my son and we were going in, and we came in at night and we set up camp. And when we woke up in the morning, you are on the floor of the canyon and it's all around you. And it is absolutely breathtaking. And especially to like just, have that just snap, there it is. It's gorgeous. It's a gorgeous place. I imagine in wintertime. Now, did you have a lot of snow?
So in Zion, no. We also went and hiked in an area called Ashdown Gorge, which was just, it's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. It was my favorite part of the whole trip. You start at the start, it was hot. I had to take my jacket off. I was sweating. By the time we made it down into the gorge, about probably 3 miles in, snow like up to our waist. Like we had to quit. We couldn't make it to the end. There was so much snow.
Oh wow.
It's crazy how different the weather can be in different parts of essentially the desert.
Wow.
Out in the open, it was hot. It was hot. I was mm-hmm. done. Down in still snow.
Did you see any critters?
Not in Ashdown, I think because of the snow. But we did. We saw a lot of just sheep and wild turkeys and things like that. Last year I saw rattlesnakes and all kinds of, not so much this year.
Really?
I think it was colder this year than it was last year.
Okay. Do you normally go about the same time of the year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So have you always been a camper?
No.
Is this a Justin thing? Is this a thing he got you interested in?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I think he was the catalyst. When I was younger, my parents and I, we always went camping, but we had like an RV. So that's not the same.
Glamping. You were glamping.
But for our hike, for my hiking trips, I'm not camping. No, there's an Airbnb.
There you go. Yep.
I spend time in the wilderness and then drive back. Where
during the daytime and yes. then at night, I'm going to be comfortable. Thank you.
Yes.
There's
yes.
nothing wrong with that. It makes the...
It's the best of both worlds.
Yeah, it makes the experience good from all sides. Just in case you had like a... some sort of critter try to eat your tent or something. Which is possible.
Now that will all I think about when I camp, Frank.
Well... I always want things like that to happen, but they never seem to.
Oh no, I had took at
now Cindy's having nightmares.
Alexander Springs.
That's where I go camping all the time.
Alexander Springs there. I had taken my daughters there.
I don't want to hear this, do I?
And no, it wasn't well, it was we had a tent. They had a tent and we had like a little screen enclosure. And I had left the cooler in the screen enclosure. And so a raccoon came in and opened it up and basically ate all the mustard. Don't know why, but he ate all the mustard. And then he was kind of, I guess, going around the tent, and my daughters were all in the tent. And I sleep in the van. And so after that, it was another 2 years before I could get them to go camping because they would not go anywhere near it. Because of this raccoon. He never got in the tent. He didn't try. He was just going around, and it creeped him out. They were like, no way. No, I'm not doing that. So, yes, critters do mess with you, especially if you leave goodies out for them.
Yeah, I learned that the hard way at Alexander Springs. So one of my best friends, John, who I think we have to have on the show one day, you'll just love him. He's just crazy. He's wild. He loves camping, and he got our friend group to start going camping. And at first I was like, I can't believe – like. I work very hard to not care. Like, what do you mean I'm going to go sleep in? What? This is insane. I hated to admit that I actually really do love it and enjoy it, but he always gets us to go to Alexander Springs. And I made the mistake of leaving a lunchbox on the picnic table. It was empty. It had a empty Ziploc bag in it. That did not matter. I woke up in the middle of the night. I didn't know what I thought I was hearing, but there was just calamity, all like things crashing. Everything that was out on the tables was falling down. I thought it was a bear. I thought it was something huge. No, it was a raccoon who got stuck in the cooler trying to get out of it, knocking everything over.
Oh, no.
That's a riot. We used to, some of my funnest memories camping, I would go out with my neighbors, the Horton family. And we would go over to the other side of Lake Winder on the St. John's, and we would camp. And we used to bring glow sticks, and we would catch the armadillos that run around, and we would write our names on the armadillos with the glow stick. That way, when they ran by, you'd be like, "There goes Ed," or "There goes Jody." They're like, "Oh my gosh, look, there he goes!" And it was harmless enough, but at the same time, it was hilarious, you know. So yeah, I don't know. That's maybe that's inappropriate. Didn't hurt them. And I don't know. I thought it was fun.
The first night they got me to go camping, I hear at like 3 a.m. this like, I couldn't even recreate the sound if I wanted to. It was the most awful sound I had ever heard. And I thought, that's it. Like, I didn't even think it was a bear that time because it couldn't have been. I thought it was like aliens. I don't know. This just like screeching followed by a very clear owl sound. And I hear John yell from his tent, "It's fine, Cindy. It's an owl, and whatever the owl is eating, it's fine." Like he knew yeah. I was awake and I was losing my mind.
And you needed to be reassured.
Yeah, it was whatever the owl had found for its dinner was.
Those are some of the creepiest sounds you can pretty much find in the woods especially if you're by yourself. I enjoy it, but I'm a weirdo like that. I think it's great. Nope, that's not good. I think it's great. I thought that was muted. I apologize. I think it's great whenever you can hear an owl because they sound. It's like a lady screaming sometimes, and other times you hear it, and it's like that was some dude's deep voice like yelling at me. I don't know what's going on. And then you start hearing the raccoons talking back and forth, and they're weird alien. You ever heard the raccoons?
Oh
talk
yeah,
like
they're little clicky click.
It's
thing.
Like something out of an alien flip.
Oh yeah,
it's insane. You start hearing it and go, okay, that's not any type of animal that God made. I don't know what that is, but it's freaking me out, man. Like I remember the first time I heard that, that was one of the things my uncle used to do. When we went on an alligator call, he'd bring tea and he'd bring blankets, and we would camp out at whatever pond it was until we caught the animal. I don't care, we had to sit there 2 days. You'd sit there until you caught the animal, and you'd kind of pass out at night, and you start hearing all these things around you talking, and you're kind of going, what in the world? Like, I don't know what that is.
Right.
Oh, Uncle Bill don't care. He'd sleep through it. You know what I mean? I'm like, if it ain't bothering him, I guess it shouldn't bother me. And then I go, let me think about who I'm talking about here. I should probably be concerned. I should probably be, I don't know. But yeah, raccoon talk is very odd. But owls too, yeah. We went out snake hunting last week on the St. John's, and we had a barn owl watching us catch snakes. That's pretty neat.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. We had a big program today we did for the city of Rockledge. And somehow I managed to not spill blood all over the city council office.
Well, it's always a good thing. It's always a good thing when you can manage not to do that.
Oh, I thought for sure. Like, I'm still on 325 milligrams of aspirin a day. So when I start bleeding, it's really quite impressive.
Oh, no.
It's really quite impressive, yeah. It's so you go like, look at that. All I did was prick my finger. I got a gusher. It's no joke. So, yeah, that's always fun. But I digress. I digress. My phone is blowing up. Like, the one time we do a program and I don't mute
his phone,
it just goes off a deep end. Like, everybody, let's call Frank at the same time. It's right. Approximately 5 o'clock. It is on mute. Oh, everything but the ringtone was on mute. That's impressive.
Oh, there you go. That's okay. Impressive.
I've never been that guy before, but apparently I just was.
You were. You were.
So what else is exciting going on, Mr. Curtis? Tell us things.
Exciting going on.
So we heard Cindy's last week. No, you've been gone 2 weeks. Cindy's been gone forever.
Yes, Cindy's, and when Cindy was gone, she missed out astronaut trivia. Astronaut high school trivia.
This is true.
And
I finally would have nailed something.
And yeah, as a graduate of astronaut high school. Okay, tell me this. When was school built? When was it completed? When was it?
Mr. Curtis blew these out of the water, by the way.
When was it, you know, ribbon cut and they?
1983.
No.
It was the 70s.
Oh.
1972.
Indeed.
I thought maybe if I said it with conviction. It would.
That's right. And then it would be true.
Yeah.
But now here's the thing Frank
this
asked.
This is a good one.
Who was supposed to cut the ribbon? There was somebody who was a dignitary who was going to come and cut the ribbon, but couldn't. But
so someone else did.
But
yes.
Somebody came in his place. It was male. It was a he. So think about 1972 and a very important person.
Yeah, this one threw you for a loop.
Oh,
too.
It did, because I never. Yeah. Who would have thought they would have pulled that? You know, that you
apparently
could.
Apparently, it was, I mean,
a high school in Brevard County.
Like you were saying, it was state
the
of the
president
art.
Of the United
and
States.
And that was. See, that's
oh,
right.
Oh, wow.
That's,
she got there.
See, I knew she would get there, but she.
She did get there.
What is she going to get? Who? Yeah, let's. President I wanna, in 1972.
If you,
was,
say, if you say George Bush, you've. You, yeah. maybe you should go a little bit further back. This is great. Just give us a name, Cindy. Give us a name.
I don't want to be wrong.
No,
okay.
That's okay.
So
let her go. Let her go. I want to hear what she goes.
No.
About.
No. So he was impeached or going to be impeached.
Nixon.
Yes, it was.
It wasn't Nixon. He was supposed to. He didn't do it. So who actually did?
It was his vice president. She's not going to know who his vice president was.
Because I don't think I had heard his name before I put that trivia together. I don't think I had ever heard the guy's name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, anyhow.
I don't remember his name.
Spiro T. Agnew.
Oh, yeah. I never
was the guy.
I never would have gone there.
Spiro T. Agnew was accused of taking bribes.
I did not know
this. And that's why he had to resign. He resigned being vice president, and that's when Gerald Ford was appointed as vice president. So Gerald Ford became president when Nixon resigned. He's the only president in history who was not elected to the office. He wasn't elected to vice president. He was appointed. But Spiro T. Agnew was supposed to take bribes. And you know what they convicted him of? Tax evasion. Because he did not declare the bribes on his income taxes. And so that's what he did time for. Income tax evasion.
How did Titusville get him to come to a ribbon cutting?
From what I understand,
the space program.
Yeah, the space program at the time.
And astronaut high school.
Yeah, it was a big. It was a really.
You know, the moon landing had happened in 1972. Okay. It was kind of a big thing. So I guess but they couldn't get him. So Agnew came, who was ended up being a convicted felon.
I get made fun of a lot. I was about to say that was a really big deal at the time.
Oh, it was, yeah. Actually, yeah.
I get made fun of for the way I say deal. Is that weird?
That is weird. I don't see.
Do I say it wrong? Is it a real big deal?
Real big. But now that you keep saying it, I'm well, starting to hear it more as a dill. Yeah. Yeah, I'm starting to hear that. But I wouldn't have never even noticed it if you didn't point it out.
I started to say it, but I get made fun of for mail too. The mailman.
Oh, that's kind of mel. Yeah, yeah, kind of M-E-L, mel.
I can't say it otherwise.
I know. There's words I can't say.
Where are you from originally?
I'm not perfect. I'm not. Don't judge me.
You've just crushed all
Do
of these
Do not judge me.
You can judge me all right you want. Until this moment.
That's right.
I thought that you were.
They were living their life thinking, I just got to be like Frank.
I was born and raised in Port St. John. Yep.
That's interesting.
The house I grew up in was the first or second house in the back of Port St. John, other side of the railroad tracks. When I grew up there was nothing out there. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. You remember you used to tell me stories about playing bumper cars back there when you were a kid. Something along those lines.
That's not me.
He's like, mm-hmm.
You didn't tell me
No,
that?
I grew up in Satellite Beach.
Didn't dude. You tell me you could go to the back of Port St. John, though, and like knock cars around?
Oh, yeah. We probably yeah. did that at yeah. some point. Yeah.
Pretty sure you told me about that.
Yeah, that was... yeah. After I graduated from high school and we did some weird things.
Your rebellious back phase. In there.
No, it was just our dumb phase. We were just dumb. And we had access to automobiles because we worked as mechanics. And so we had these old cars. I used to buy cars. I'd spend $200 for a car. And that's what I'm going
to do. It was easy to do.
I'm going
to
buy a car for $200. I'm going to beat it to death. And then I'm going to sell it to somebody else for $200. And I'm going to buy something else for $200. And I spent like 2 years of my life doing that, driving stuff. And so the thing about a $200 car is you don't care. Did I hit something? I don't care.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure something like that happened. I'm sure.
Those were stories you told me 20 years ago.
Right. Well, yeah. More than
22 years ago.
25 years
no,
ago?
No, 20.
22, 23. Because you graduated in 99.
23 years ago.
That's if I told you when you graduated, you know, you were here 4 years prior. Yeah, long time, dude. Long time.
The beard is getting gray. It's happening.
Yep.
It's happening. You, dear goodness
so,
gracious.
So we've got this. You're not perfect. And you're aging. Okay. All of these revelations that we've got.
I'm trying to not be single, Mr. Curtis. This is not helping the situation at all. This is not helping. This is not... Ladies, I'm sorry. You know, I'm trying. I'm doing what I can. I'm doing what I can.
I think we just came up with a new segment.
What's that?
I don't know. We're doing something with this.
The Frank's Not Perfect segment.
There we go.
Hosted by Cindy. Frank, you are absolutely terrible at everything.
No, we didn't say terrible. We said not perfect.
I always forget to turn the clock on. Turn the clock on, Frank. What are you doing?
No, actually,
I'm two for two.
You're two for two.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to say anything. Nobody had to say anything. You turned the thing on.
And I celebrated after I did it too. I was like, yeah.
I know. That's how we know you turned it on because you did the little dance.
Yeah. It's like the worst dance ever. See, again, not perfect. Not perfect. I'm going down. It's steadily. Frank's stock is fading quick.
Okay. So let's change the subject here real quick before Frank starts.
I'm just stomping myself on the ground.
You got to stop.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So, tell me this. What is your favorite vehicle that you have ever owned?
The one I have right now, my Dodge truck.
Your
Dodge?
Oh,
no. Oh, my garage. No. My favorite vehicle would be whenever I was a senior here, I had a 1968 Chevelle that had a 307 with a power glide in it. It's a two-speed power glide, the greatest car in the history of cars. I remember... the timing chain ripped off of it one time, so it split all the gears off the 307, and I changed it out with a 350 that I built in my grandmother's front yard at the time. Put the motor in. Remember, I had it straight exhaust manifold, so the exhaust was like this long. You could drive by kids, and the kids would run into their house screaming, holding their ears.
Because their ears would be bleeding because the thing was so loud.
Pretty much. And I remember I drove it to school like that one time, maybe 6 months or so before I graduated. And the plan was, I'm going to leave school early. I'm going to go down to Midas in Cocoa on 520.
Okay.
Get 520 and US-1 there and get exhaust put on it and be like, I'll be jam up. All the chrome was new. The paint was new. Motor didn't even have 50 miles on it. I mean, it was a flipping deal. leave school again like a rocket ship, just idling like a rocket ship. It was the greatest thing ever. Go out, make my way down to Cocoa. Remember, cops following me, kind of going, stupid kid. Like, what an idiot this kid is. Drive down there, get exhaust put on it. It was perfect. It was perfect. Came out the back.
Doesn't sound like this story ends well.
It was perfect. Came out the back. It was had like 45-degree angle on the outside. So, I mean, it was just the way it was supposed to be. It was, oh, man, it was just beautiful. Thinking about it just brings tears in my eyes. And then I remember driving back home. And as I'm driving back home, it had just rained like a tad bit as I was coming up on Canaveral Groves Boulevard on US 1. And I went to stop at the light, and I'm stopping, I'm slowing down. And I remember looking in the rearview mirror and seeing cars going like every direction and going, I should probably pull off the road. This isn't good. And before I could even react to it again and say, hey, yeah, you moron, you should have pulled off the road, had 7 cars slamming in the back of me and totaled the car out.
Oh, wow. Oh,
and I remember
wow.
sitting on the side of the road crying, and the Titusville High soccer team going by, and everybody's going, I'm like, you dirty dogs. Like, oh my goodness gracious. Yeah, I think at that time I was probably a little bit angry.
Yeah.
I went from sad to anyhow.
Yeah, you put so much into it.
I'd put a lot of time and a lot of work into that thing, and I was so proud. I was probably liked it too much is what it came down to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's probably one of those things like, okay. Okay, Lord. All right, fair enough. I liked it too much. But
put you back there.
What about you?
No. Cindy's going to tell me.
Oh, Cindy.
Because now I'd be interested to see how much, you know, because sometimes cars don't matter.
It's true.
Do cars matter to you?
So my very first car, I, for a couple $100, bought my stepdad's old Firebird.
Ooh. Oh, what okay. year?
A 90-something. I don't know.
Did it have the flip-up headlights?
It did.
What?
And it had the T-tops.
Oh,
it was this
jammy jam.
Beautiful, like, teal, greenish, bluish.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I know that color.
Yes.
I know that
yeah.
color,
the
yeah.
The dark teal. Yeah.
Those things are jammy jam.
I thought I was so cool. Fresh out of high school. Finally had freedom. Our first car. Me and my friends are at, like, 1 a.m. coming back from a concert in Orlando.
This doesn't sound good either.
That none of our parents knew we were at.
Okay, you were all at a sleepover. Right?
Yeah.
Well, you were already graduated, right?
Yes, I had already graduated.
Okay.
So
okay.
that was fine. That's what I tell myself. That's what I told my mom.
Okay.
She disagreed, but whatever. Suddenly, smoke starts pouring from under the hood. The head gasket had blown the side of Highway 50 at like 1 a.m.
Oh, this is back when Highway 50 was two-lane then? Was
yeah,
it still too late?
And it was the part just in between, like, Christmas and Titusville where there's nothing
by the big curve.
But alligators, nothing but
right.
alligators.
Yeah, oh, yeah, and the ditch on either side. And
love
oh,
it.
Yeah.
Oh. My favorite spot.
I loved that car for all of, like, the 3 weeks that I didn't blow it up. That was my favorite car. Because it had been my car all growing up. Like, it was my stepdad's car.
What happened after that? Did you fix the head gasket?
No, it was dead. It was done for.
That was it. It went away.
Yeah,
that's sad.
It went away.
So,
now,
so tell us yours.
Well, my favorite car probably was my first car that I ever had, and it was a 1972 Fiat X19.
Ooh, little guy.
Yeah, it was a two-seater, and it had it was kind of a T-top kind of thing. It had a top that came off of it, and it went into the front. Trunk, you know, you keep it in there. It was a mid-engine car, so it had a trunk in the front, it had a trunk in the back, and the engine was in between. And
I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, because of the way that it distributed the weight, it was
rock stars.
Oh, it was the best handling car that I've ever driven. It just, in fact, one time I was going over Florida 70, going to Arcadia. And coming around a curve and doing well above the speed limit. And and there was an alligator right in the middle of the road. And, you know, it's a two-lane road. But just like nothing, just kind of whoo, right around it. And just, you know, it was beautiful. It was a wonderful car. And but the problem with it was, you know, it was a Fiat. And, you know, and getting parts for it was terrible. That was the car that I had when I met the monkey. Because you had to go to Cocoa to get an oil filter for it.
Okay.
You couldn't get an oil filter anywhere in town.
Okay.
You had to go to Coco, and the monkey crawled in my car and took my oil filter, and I'm not going back to Coco. So that's when I started throwing rocks at the monkey. And
that was the greatest conversation ever when Mike was here when you were discussing that.
Oh yeah.
You can see him kind of going.
You're like, I know for a fact there are monkeys
yes,
out there.
That's right. There are monkeys.
Stole my
out
oil
there.
Filter.
That's right, man.
That was funny, man. Oh Lord. Yes. Remember my grandfather used to tell those stories. And when he first came up here working for FPNL about them stealing sandwiches.
Oh yeah. 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 No, if they got anything we're near food, boy, they were. Yep.
So they'd grab it and kind of go and run off. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh Lord. Good times. This has been a fun conversation, guys. Oh, so you guys want to do a little bit of trivia?
Yeah, let's do it. What you got?
So,
please be something about the presidents. Come on. No. Be something about the presidents.
This trivia was written for Mr. Don Gibb, who had something else come up and was not able to be on today.
Okay.
So it's trivia I specifically wrote for Don Gibb. So what do you think that would be about?
Oh.
Television of some kind?
No. It's something he's always... It's funny. So... In the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, he was in Bloodsport. He played the part of a guy named Ray Jackson, who was a fighter. And in the movie, Ray Jackson wore a Harley Davidson bandana that this big Oriental guy in the film stole from him and like wore around his knee while he was fighting and like kicking everybody's butt.
Okay.
And until Jean-Claude Van Damme beat him at the end and took the bandana back and gave it to him in the hospital. Well, the last when I saw and met Don Gibb in Chicago, it was funny. He was wearing a Harley Davidson shirt, and I thought that's pretty ironic. Like that's okay. it all travels around. Maybe he was a Harley Davidson fan the entire time, so it's Harley Davidson trivia.
Oh, Harley.
So
okay.
This is gonna break my stepfather's heart because I know already I'm gonna fail, but that's unacceptable because he is a Harley man.
But you don't know how much you picked up just by.
It's
being,
true. You might know that. You might know the answer to these.
We'll find out.
You might
know the answer
out.
To these. Okay, number one. Why is the name hog? It's funny, Mr. Curry.
Okay.
No, I find myself as I'm asking the questions going, because I'm so used to asking questions at different places I've hosted trivia and kind of making sure nobody's watching. So Mr. Curtis called me out on it a couple of podcasts ago. He's like, and he's hiding this from me. Why? I don't know.
Yeah, he's holding it back. Doesn't want me to see.
It's hilarious. Okay, pull it together, Frank.
You got to realize if I don't put these glasses on, it could be right in front of me and I can't read it.
Well, the daggum gif keeps floating around. I keep getting it resent to me with people laughing. So I just, the gif I'm referring to.
Right.
It keeps going around. So I'm just waiting for myself to become a gif again. If you don't know what I'm talking about, God bless you. We'll see you another time. All right. Number one. Why is the name Cindy? Cindy was at fault for that one, too. I'm still blaming Cindy on that. It was not Cindy's fault.
It was 100% Cindy's fault.
I didn't think anything of it until I look up and see Cindy just come unglued.
Oh, that's okay. No, I was right behind her, man. I was right behind her.
And, oh, Lord. And poor Steve kind of goes, man, what did I sign up for? Oh, Lord. Okay, number one. Sorry for anybody that doesn't know what I'm talking about. Go back and watch... Episode Steve Wilson. Yeah. Thank you, Steve. Number one, why is the name hog associated with motorcycles?
I have no idea.
You ever heard? You've heard motorcycles called
oh, yeah.
a hog, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No idea.
You want to take a guess?
Because they sound like they're grunting.
That's a great guess. It's a great, it's not
wrong,
true. It's not true, but it's a great guess.
I would think, well, you know, like the big 1,000cc, the big Harley, mm-hmm. you know, it's just because of its size. Maybe that was.
That is what I thought as well.
Okay.
Yep, both are wrong. I'm sorry.
Okay.
The true is, why is the name hog associated with motorcycles? Because a group of racers had a pet pig or hog mascot, and when they would win a race, they would put the hog on the bike and make a victory lap.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just FYI, I never would have guessed that.
No, I wouldn't.
Oh, that was my second guess.
Both of those seemed like good guesses, though.
Yeah.
I would have guessed what you guys went with because I did not know that.
Yeah, I did not know that.
If that's wrong, feel free to tell me I'm wrong, guys. I mean, I don't know everything. It's funny, I can watch myself do this, and it happens before I can do it. Number two, what company did Harley merge with in 1969?
I know this.
Did you?
I do.
Cindy, any guesses?
I think I, you know,
The thing is, I know that I know it in here, but I don't know it.
Okay, because my dad worked for this company.
Okay.
And is it AMF?
It is AMF.
Yeah.
And what year did, so if we're going to answer that one, and what year was it that Harley tried to buy it back, buy it all the way back?
Oh. I don't know.
What years did your dad work for them?
Oh, it was in the 60s.
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
It was in the 60s.
Was that down here?
No. That was in the Washington, D.C. area.
Okay. Yeah. Very neat. Yeah, AMF. And I think it was 1982 that the board at Harley made a big stink about trying to get it back. And that's when they had the whole thing with the Eagle Soars Solo kind of thing going on. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Anyhow. Number three. What is the association called that would award a patch for 1,000 miles in a 24-hour period? What is the association called that would award a patch for 1,000 miles driven in a 24-hour period? It makes sense. It honest to goodness makes sense.
Does it?
Does it have something to do with century because it's 1,000?
No, sir.
No. Okay. Well,
it has something to do with what you sit on.
don't stop talking.
But okay.
No, honest to goodness, it does.
I don't know.
Don't know.
Something saddle. Something.
No. Something you sit on. We're sitting on it right now. We're all sitting on it right now.
So what?
It's a piece of anatomy.
Like okay. Derriere? See, this is what I thought, yeah. But I have to stop talking.
It's not. It's not. It's not a three-letter word. It's a four-letter word.
Well, there yeah. you go.
Oh, so but.
But yes. Okay. So think about what you would need in order to go 1,000 miles in 24-hour period.
A stone butt.
That's close. Oh,
Maybe iron.
It is.
Iron yes, butt.
It is iron butt association.
Okay.
Iron wow. butt association.
There you go. Okay. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, it'd have to.
Are
be.
They still around?
To do 1,000 miles.
No.
I need a shirt. I need something.
It says iron butt association. Oh Lord.
Because oh yeah, to do 1,000 miles on a motorcycle?
Yeah.
In 24 hours?
Your backside would be hurting so bad.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it'd be taking a couple hundred miles on a horse, I'd imagine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You'd be hurting for a long time.
Oh, no, that would be.
Unless you had like a giant callus on your backside.
There you go.
It's cool.
Thanks.
Then they just call you a waffle butt.
He's got to be more tightly scripted. We've got to come up with a script, and he's not allowed to.
And to think I was worried about me being the one unscripted.
There's
no,
nothing wrong with the term waffle butt.
No, you're right.
It's really
Frank.
Harmless.
You're right.
Says the guy who has no butt. At least I can talk about the fact that maybe one day I will, which I won't ever. But so I don't know where I'm going with this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have another question, Frank?
No, sir. That would be.
We're going to end on iron butt.
Yes, okay. We're going to end on waffle butt. We're ending on waffle butt.
Butt.
Yes, waffle butt. All right, guys. So thank you a bunch for joining us, Cindy. We're super happy you're back.
Yes.
Really, it makes us very happy inside. Mr. Curtis, it was a blast as always.
Yes, sir.
Guys, we'll catch you all next time. Bye-bye.